The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like. Good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. Hope you're having a great Friday. Beautiful day outside. If I were you, I'd find a reason to go sit outside, listen to us, and not get coronavirus.
Good call.
281 says, it's funny how Fred draws a line at age 60 for the coronavirus. That wasn't me. I was watching the scroll on TV while I was on the treadmill today, and it said people over 60 should take extra care. So that's not me. Just want that noted for the record. Space Ghost on Twitch says, McGrath Pest Control has the best ads. I laugh my ass off at those. And then JD on Twitter says, I've been listening to local radio so long, I used to listen to Anita Martini in my teens. She was the first woman to be allowed in an MLB locker room. I'm going to correct you on that, JD. She was one of two women who were allowed in the locker room. Because the other one was my mother, who was working as a sports editor.
You know what's funny? I almost said Fred's mom was the other one.
She was.
As and, like a joke.
And then but no, was, she really was.
Really your mom.
And nobody ever, she never got any credit for it because she worked for a little newspaper. But she and Anita Martini were the two who were pushing for it. And yeah, so she was one of two. And the other one was my mom.
Man, I don't know why I didn't just throw out that joke.
You should have, because it would have been like.
It would have been perfect.
Yeah. So.
You would have been like, how'd you know?
But yeah, true story. She was sports editor. I think it may have been at the Galveston News. It's either Galveston News or Tech City Sun at the time. I don't know. But it was a small paper. And because Anita was on radio and everybody knew her, she got all the credit for it. So 49's listening on the app going through Utah heading to Denver. Beware of the coronavirus. I'm kind of torn between because I think people are panicking way too much. But I don't want to say, well, don't panic in case it turns out to be Walking Dead.
Right.
So.
You don't want to be the guy that poo-pooed it and then it's a big deal.
Right.
You don't want to be the guy who called it a hoax.
And then die from it. Right. I'm not calling it a hoax. No. I think the Democrats are a hoax.
Right.
Yeah, that's what that was about. Yeah. So, just one last thing on this and then we'll, this Australian university study about it. Did you see what the potential impact they came up with?
I did not.
They went through all these scenarios for what can happen with this, right? And it says the best case scenario, 15 million dead.
The best case?
The worst case, 36 million.
Oh, my God.
And listen, I love my Aussie friends, but I'm not going to trust your science anymore. Just so you know. Did you see that ESPN, what they're trying to do with Monday Night Football?
I did not.
They're trying to pay Peyton Manning $20 million to come in and do it, which, okay. They're also trying to get Al Michaels, which I thought he was under contract. I don't know how you would. I mean, I would love to see Al Michaels do Monday Night Football, but I don't know how they would get him. So their dream scenario is pay Peyton a bunch of money and somehow work
and
something
we don't
out.
Know, I mean, we don't even know if Peyton Manning's good.
We don't. But, yeah, that's, I wonder about stuff like that. It's like, okay, what if you overpay the hell out of this guy and it turns out he's not any good? And you wind up having another booger.
Yeah.
And people are like, wow, this is terrible. Because, I mean, what we know about Peyton Manning is he's really good at commercials. But those are all rehearsed.
Right.
You know, when you're in the moment doing the game, some guys, they may be fantastic at reading a defense when they're on the field. And yeah, you know, Tony Romo was not the best quarterback in the league when he was playing.
No.
But he's a damn good color analyst. It's a different skill. And I don't know if Peyton has that. And he's personable, and that's great. But you know, if you get in there and fail when you're paying a guy that much money, and I also think, why not just get somebody who's not as high profile but who actually is good? You've got a stable of talent at ESPN. Yeah, I know you have better than Booger McFarland running around.
You would think.
But, man, $20 million. So,
Booger McFarlane's out with Monday Night Football, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So.
Or was that they were hoping he was going to be out because they were hoping to get Tony Romo. And then they, since ESPN didn't get him, maybe they.
I guess. Somebody said Greg Olsen would be great on Monday Night Football. He's still playing, though, I think.
No, playing. He retired.
Oh, did he retire?
Yep.
Okay. So. I'm curious why Fred just outright refuses to believe the virus is serious. It's not at all what I said, sir. I said I'm not changing my life for it. And, you know, if we're going to get it, we're going to get it. Just be a little smarter about stuff. But I'm also not, you know, it's like I don't go out and try to get the flu. So I want to hear AJ as Jim Baker for Monday Night Football. That would be interesting. So. And somebody asked, if you got the corona, what would you do? I would stay home and get well, hopefully not get anybody else sick. I would drown it with alcohol. And then when I got better, I'd come back and tell coronavirus stories.
And by the way, Greg Olsen, that whole, and this is where you think that you've gotten past something.
He signed with Seattle, by the way, Olsen.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's what we were talking about with him.
Yeah.
I thought he retired.
No, he signed with the Seahawks.
Greg Olsen won't be in the booth because he did that rap song when he was in college, and now, oh, big deal. He did a song when he was in college. Well, now in 2021 or whenever he is available to do the booth, people will bring that up and say, we can't let him in the booth, which isn't fair, but they will.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Leroy says, remember when Dennis Miller did Monday Night Football?
Oh, that was not good.
Yeah, I think the idea of a comedian in there works, but it'd have to be the right guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you put Joe Rogan in a booth.
Joe Rogan doesn't like football.
I know he doesn't like football, but somebody like that who, you know, and it may even be funnier because he doesn't like football.
But that's the thing with Joe Rogan, when he does the UFC, he doesn't do it as a comedian.
No,
he's not
serious.
A funny guy.
He's serious,
takes it very seriously.
But he wouldn't take football seriously.
Right.
So. Fred, have you considered that as much as your wife travels, corona is just her elaborate plan to kill you? Yeah. You know, if she wanted me dead, she's got a lot of easier ways to do it where she wouldn't get caught. You know, I mean that, but maybe. Although she hasn't traveled since, I guess she was in London in January. That was before the whole thing hit.
Yeah.
So, Get Off My Lawn says they can trade for Al Michaels' contract.
Can you? Is that allowed?
Yeah. And Santos says, fellow Roughneck season ticket holder here, I'm going to hit the Little Woodrows for the watch party next weekend for the away game. How was the crowd? Is it worth going instead of watching at home? It was a blast, man. It was a good crowd, and they were into it. It was a lot of fun. I highly recommend it, you know, as long as you're not worried about coronavirus.
Well, I kind of am.
Well, I'm not. Yeah. Somebody says put Granato in the booth. Hey, Granato would be.
Granato's busy.
He'd be terrific in Monday Night Football.
He's busy.
Well, we don't want to lose him. Yeah, Granato doing play-by-play, Lance doing color for Monday Night Football. You know what, ESPN? I just want 10% of their contracts for this, but you will thank me. Because Lance will have all kinds of comments about their twitches and their hips and stuff like that that will go over very well with a large audience. So, yes, what's the best broadcasting duo in each of the three major sports? That's kind of hard for me. I still think Tirico is the best at whatever he does.
Yeah.
I think Mike Tirico is fantastic. He can do any sport and do it well and do it professionally. And I think almost everybody thinks Romo's the best color analyst right now, although I don't think he was as good last year. And I think Jim Nance is pretty good. But most of the time, I don't want to know. If I notice you as an announcer, it's probably because you're annoying as hell like Chris Collinsworth. If I don't notice you, you're doing a great job. So, somebody said, I never understood the hate for Collinsworth. I like him personally.
I don't hate him as much as some people do.
I mean, again, there's a lot of people who like him quite a bit, and that's okay. We can have different opinions on it. I just have to mute him half the time because to me, he comes off as smarmy know-it-all And he doesn't give me any information that I don't already know. But, you know, that's okay. I mean, there are people who like that. There's nothing wrong with that. And any of those guys in high profile jobs, they're gonna get a bunch. I mean, they're gonna get a bunch of that. They're gonna get a lot of hate. That's just part of it. 713 says, I think we can all agree Booger is the worst. Well, was he worse than Jason Witten? Or did we just not notice it until Witten was gone?
That's tough. I think it was really bad because when they had Witten, they didn't have. They would go to Booger, and he was bad too. And there was just nothing to cover
right,
it up.
Right. Mike Breen, Van Gundy. That's a good one.
And I feel bad for Booger because I feel like he wants to be good and he's trying really hard. Like I don't think it's for a lack of effort. And I know like the people at ESPN, they like him. They want him to do well.
Yeah.
But he got nothing positive in form of reviews. Like.
Well,
so that means it's probably hard to keep running them out there.
And I'll say what I've always said. I think the best color analysts are coaches and guys who have seen the whole big picture, even if they weren't great coaches. And I think most of the time that works better than players. But, you know, that is such a high-profile job and ESPN's got a ton of talent there. It's just a matter of finding the right person for it. And I think going in, Booger seemed like he was going to be really good.
Right.
But it's a different skill. And when you're in the moment and having to respond right away, it's just like, it's not all that different from what we're doing. You have to respond in real time. It's a different animal and it's a different skill. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. People liking the Lance and John idea, 832 says, instead of players saying what school they went to, they could read a negative comment Lance wrote about them before the draft.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah. Well done, sir. Paul brings up Doc Emmerich in hockey. He is fantastic. So's Chris Cuthbert, who does a lot of hockey and also does CFL. I like both those guys. And then 505 says Greg Olsen works for XFL on Fox Sports. Did you not watch Sunday's game? Dude was all over the roughnecks while color commentating. Yeah, I did watch Sunday's game. I just happened to be watching it with 100 people in a bar, so I wasn't really paying attention to who was talking or what was being said. So, sorry I was having fun there. My bad.
Did you see where Colin McHugh is heading?
Yes. He is heading from one cheater to another.
He's heading to the one place where he won't have to apologize, right?
Exactly.
So, good for him. That's a guy who would have been nice if the Astros could have kept him.
Yep. Well, they probably could have. They just don't want to spend any money.
Yeah. So, I think that, you say they don't want to spend any money. Like, he signed for a one-year, $600,000 contract.
Well, then I don't know what the excuse is.
Now, he did have some performance bonuses and things like that, but...
Well, if that's what he signed for, then I don't know why the Astros didn't want to bring him back.
I don't either. That's because he made $6 million last year.
Mm.
So I would think... Boy, yeah, I mean, the Astros just must think he's washed.
I guess. I for that, I'd take him in a heartbeat.
He's worth it for that. Even if he ends up in your bullpen, he's worth it, right?
Absolutely. He was pretty good in the bullpen for them.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Lior mentioned Kevin Harlan on Twitch. Kevin Harlan I like on TV. I think he's unlistenable on radio when he's doing the football games.
The Monday Night Football.
Yeah, because he spends so much time talking about inside the hash marks, outside the numbers, all this stupid stuff instead of telling me what's going on in the game. When he on TV, he's really good. I like him on TV, and I like him on college basketball on TV. But radio, not for me at all. Somebody wants to know which local broadcast crew do you guys like? Well, John Granato. No, I think Vandermeer does a really good job on the Texans. I think Andre does a good job with them. I don't. I mean, the rest of the guys.
I don't like any of them. I'll just be honest.
Yeah, I think for games they're good. I mean, do I think their Texans radio is any good? No, it's garbage. But I think Vandermeer does a good job on play by play. The other guys in the city, I'm just I'm not really impressed with any of them. I miss Gino on the Rockets, which is before a lot of you guys' time, but
it's before mine.
Yeah, he was fantastic. So 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. It's a Friday, and man, getting ready for a good weekend. So somebody asked me best place to park for the Roughnecks games. If you're going to tailgate, there's all kinds of good lots over there. But if you're not doing that, the best thing to do is go park down on the, you know, by Lucky's or Little Woodrow's or one of those places down there and hop on the train. Train's free on game days. And it drops you off right there at the stadium, which is what we do. So that would be my suggestion, unless you're going to want to tailgate. So yeah. Somebody, Craig Way, paints an amazing picture for UT Sports Radio. I like Craig a lot, too. I think he handles being a homer without being obnoxious, which is really hard to do. Because you want your local announcers to have some homerism. But I know you worked with Craig for a long time, but as a play-by-play guy,
he's good.
He is very good. So,
Craig didn't like doing a show with me.
Really?
No, he did not at all.
I could see that.
Craig took himself very seriously, and I obviously, I mean, even more so back then, did not. I mean, I was on a free roll, so I was.
Well, that's a different skill than what he does, because a radio show, you can't take yourself too seriously.
Well, I wanted the show to be entertaining. He wanted the show to be informative, so.
Well, you can do both.
Yeah, I couldn't back then, and I thought it was boring if he tried to, so I mean, it was a wreck.
Mm. But again, different skill set. If you're going to do this, I think Vandermeer, as good as he is doing play by play, when he was doing the morning show over there, he was awful. And I mean, it's just a different thing, because you can't hold back if you're going to do this. You can't take yourself too seriously, and you got to have fun, and you can't say, well, I don't want to say anything bad about the Texans right. because of this. And they were hamstrung by what they could say over there, and it was just not good. Mr. Gray says, people put way too much into announcers. I'm into the game too much, I guess, because I hardly notice them. Then you've probably got the good ones.
Yeah. You notice less when it's decent.
Yeah. I notice that. That's what I was saying earlier, is that I don't want to notice you. Now, stuff Romo does is noticeable in a good way. But if I'm noticing things that are like you're repeating things or you're just being annoying, that's not good. That's when I have to mute guys. And I don't want that. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You guys are such homers. Granato would be terrible on Monday Night Football.
It's a joke. Yeah. No one's trying to put John Granato on Monday Night Football, dummy. Yeah, we're homers.
Do I really have to?
You have to explain that.
Oh, my God. Okay, because I guarantee you everybody out there, including John, knows I was kidding about that. Including the texter had the great text about reading a Lance comment on him.
It's like, just when you think people aren't morons.
No. No, they are. It's okay. I'm not going to call him a moron. I told you, we're going to be nice to each other because we're all going to die. But
I'm not saying I hope that guy gets coronavirus, because I don't wish that on anyone.
Well, no, because he listens to our station. We want people who listen to the other station to get coronavirus. If somebody has to get it. I mean, we don't want anybody.
One of our listeners has to get it. Listen, he'll be in the conversation. He'll be in the pool.
Gene Elston was a true professional, truly missed. Yeah, he was, and that was he was when I was a kid, pretty much, but really good. So, somebody says I hate Herb Street. His terminology pisses me off. It's like when he calls it a boundary. You know, I actually like Herb Street.
I don't think he's bad.
Yeah. So
I don't think he's great. I don't think he's bad.
Yeah, I think he's better doing games than he is like when he does studio work and things like that. I'm not all that impressed with him, but I like him on the games. Somebody says, Granato while jacked up on Coors Light would be awesome.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That would be it.
Yeah, I don't think ESPN's looking for that, to be honest.
Oh, boy.
I mean, maybe they are. I don't know.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Now, I think we talk about studio stuff. I think Barkley's really good. Did you see what he said about the Rockets?
No.
He called them a bunch of leprechauns.
Oh, boy. He's pissing off everybody. I think yeah. He does it on purpose.
Oh, of course he
pissed
does.
Off Draymond Green this week.
Yeah. Well, he starts off with, it's nothing personal, which, okay, just a little PSA here. If you say no disrespect meant, or with all due respect, what you mean is I don't respect you at all or your opinion. And you say it's nothing personal. Yeah, it's very personal. But that's okay. He says, it's nothing personal. I don't think you're going to win with putting a little bunch of leprechauns out there, because you're going to get worn down in a 7-game series. And when you start playing elite teams, they're going to be just as good offensively, but much better defensively. And on the rebounds. On the rebounds.
I mean, let's remember Charles Barkley's 6'6".
Not even that. He was 6'4.5". Yeah. But he was a fat leprechaun, though. So there's the difference. All right.
Who was the center on those Suns teams? Because it was like Kevin Johnson, Dan Majerle, Sid Ceballos. Who was their center?
Yeah, I don't remember. I'll have to look it up.
It was always some bummy-ass dude, though, because yeah. I would have remembered him.
Yeah. 928 said, did you hear Granato call Coney Ely cannoli? That was hilarious. But. All right. Quick break.
Was it Kurt Rambis? He was more of a power
forward. No, it wasn't Rambis. He was on that team, but. So he says, even though he didn't get along with Milo, he was good in the booth. I didn't respect him as a human being, so I can't, you know, I got nothing to say.
If you don't have anything nice to say about dead people.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it alone.
Yeah.
All right.
Good of you, Fred.
Quick break. It is the Blitz.
You're the more living man.
It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ice, chain, pure water. Ice. You got the cab, but can't afford them.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. In stereo. FM stereo. I like this. Crank this up, man. Yeah. All right. Friday, man. Having some fun today. You know what's kind of cool? Is that we all have very different tastes in what announcers we like, which is kind of cool to me. I don't know why.
I mean, isn't that kind of normal? Like,
yeah. I mean, although it's funny because there's like some guys that I think, no, you waited till 5:33.
Well, you notice I started the show drinking water.
Yeah,
not sparkly water, just like regular water.
Regular water. You're hydrating to avoid the coronavirus.
Yes.
Jason Braddock and Patrick Creighton next. You'll get to hear Jason explain why the Rockets are okay. So make sure you tune in for that.
Okay. Boy, I mean.
He loves it. He loves him some Rockets,
he's
man.
Willing to die on that Rockets hill, and good on him. God bless him.
Yep.
Like, I see it, and I'm like, well.
That's okay. That's the other thing. We can look at the same thing and see different things.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because how many times we talked about this? We'll see a play that we get replayed, and you say, oh, well, no, he's clearly out of bounds. I'm like, I don't know.
Or that's off him.
Yeah. It's and, you know, we're all looking at the same replays. It's just, you know, so, but tune in. Make sure you listen to them. They do a good job. I always listen on the way home, at least for the first 30 minutes or so, however long it takes me to get home.
Rockets now 8.5 games out of first.
Well, first is never in play. Let's
okay.
Just start with that.
They're now 3.5 games out of second.
Okay.
And 2 games from being seventh. They're closer to seventh than second now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got a reasonably easy schedule coming up, but then I thought that was the case when they were playing the Knicks. So yeah. We'll see. I
they're closer to seventh than third.
I think they listen. It's really hard for me to say anything positive about them after these last two games. I know it's two games and it's a long season, but
on the bright side, they'll probably beat the Hornets, right?
You would think. And then they get the Magic on a back to back, and they're probably gonna sit Westbrook, so maybe you don't win that one. I don't know. If they shoot like they did last night, they're not beating anybody.
Yeah.
And I hope that's just a one-game aberration.
I just don't – I mean – and
7 of 42. You cannot beat anybody shooting 7 of 42 from 3.
I get that Jason loves his team. I don't know if Jason thinks the Rockets can win a title. But I don't know how you can watch this team and then watch the Lakers or the Bucks or the Clippers and think, you know what?
You know what?
The Rockets are as good or better than those
guys. Aaron, get him to come over here and get on your microphone. I want to ask him while he's sitting out there.
I don't think he believes that. I mean, I think he believes they're good, but not like that kind of good.
No, I want you to ask him that question because I think he does believe that based on what I've been hearing. So, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. He could just get on your microphone. We don't need him in here. I don't want coronavirus.
Does he have coronavirus?
Probably. Well, I didn't mean for you to come in here. You could have just stayed in there with Aaron.
Okay, but come, that's on, right.
Come on, now that you're here, yeah. Yeah. Jason Braddock, who you can hear on Late Hits with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock tonight at 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
I'm going to squat. All right.
Yeah.
So we were asking, and I heard you defending the Rockets to Fred.
Yeah, Fred came by, said he was looking for the excuses tonight from me on James Harden. No, they played a horrible game. They shot terrible.
Two in a row.
Yeah, two in a row. It reminds me of a couple weeks ago when everybody got on their back towards the back end of that winning streak, winning 10 of 2. Sandwiched in between that of those 12 games was a loss at Phoenix when Russ was out. Then they came back against Utah. Bogdanovich hit the last second shot. So in an 82-game season, you're going to have ebbs and flows.
But this wasn't Westbrook out. This
True.
Wasn't a last second shot that beat him.
True.
This was getting dog stomped by one of the worst teams in the league and then getting embarrassed against what you're trying to convince your fan base is your peer.
No, if you want to look at what the Rockets are doing poorish right now, their effort the last three games. They come out the last three games, even the win over the Celtics in overtime, and the effort's not there. Against the Knicks, the effort's not there for three quarters. Then they're down by 19 in the second quarter. Turn it on a little bit, down by 19 again in the third quarter. Turn it on the fourth quarter, like, all right, we'll flip the switch and beat the Knicks. Then a couple of balls roll off the rims. No excuse. You shouldn't lose to the Knicks, even if it's in Madison Square Garden.
Ever.
And so there's no excuse there. Awful night. Started slow against Boston, started slow against the Clippers, and then they didn't get it going at all against the Clippers. So many layups rolling off the rim, the three balls not falling down. It reminded me of Game 7, Golden State Warriors Rockets Western Conference Finals, when they went 7-44.
But why would it be any different in the playoffs when they play this team?
Well, they took on the greatest dynasty in NBA history.
I'm talking about the Clippers right now.
No, that's what I'm telling you. No, if you ask me right now, well, let me start off by asking you two guys.
Well, that's why we brought you in. We want to know, like, are you, when you, I know that you are a supporter of the Rockets. I mean, I don't know if you're a fan, but you're definitely a believer in the Rockets.
No, I wouldn't call a fan because I don't get emotionally up and down to where I ride it. And like after a loss last night, start panicking. In January, everyone wanted to fire Mike D'Antoni, fire Daryl Morey, trade Harden, trade Westbrook. And I pointed out at that time of how they play when Capella's not on the floor. All that being said, if you ask me right now, the five teams that have a shot at a title, it's the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Rockets, and the Celtics. I'm saying the Rockets have a shot at a title, and I think they have a better shot with small ball than they did with Clint Capella and what they're doing. I'm not going to judge them so harshly off of one horrific night against who I think is the best team in the NBA. If you ask me who's winning the NBA title this year, I'm saying the LA Clippers. Nobody's beaten them since they've been fully healthy. I think they're, what, 9 or 10-0 now when they all play and they're all healthy?
See, I guess that's where and I'm not arguing against you, and I think if I had to pick five teams, that might be my five too, but realistically, I think there's three teams that have a chance to win the title.
I agree with that.
I can't picture a world where this Rockets team wins a championship.
Well, let's see
That's not a championship quality team.
Let's see how far off we are. All right, because I think maybe a lot of this is semantics and where we're disagreeing, but let's go through seven-game series. Seven-game series with the Clippers, I think it's closer than most people think, but I've got the Clippers in seven. Seven-game series against the Lakers, I've got the Rockets in seven. Seven-game series against the Bucks, that's probably the most compelling because I don't know if they have anyone, even throwing a double team at Giannis, that can slow down what he does, and that's within 5 feet of the basket.
That's the problem. Same with the Lakers. What do they have to throw at Anthony Davis?
No, it's a fair point, but they've been well at combating Anthony Davis. The other thing you
and
have to throw
And what I saw
in.
Last night was when you've got bigs who can move a little bit,
right?
The Rockets are toast. They'll feast on a team like the Jazz who has a big slow guy in the middle. Mm-hmm. If you have a big who can move, they don't have a chance because those Harrell.
That's a great point. Boys. You said the name.
People just ate their lunch last night.
Most people are going to talk about Zubac going 6 for 6 and 12 rebounds.
Ate too.
He did, but I think that's probably more. I like where you went with Harrell, even though his stat line wasn't as eye popping. Montrezl Harrell's the guy that really is a horrible matchup for this Rocket small ball. I completely agree with
because
you on that.
What the Clippers have because Zubac is their starting center.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't rely on him.
Right.
They can take him off the floor, and then they put Harrell out there, and now they can run up and down with the Rockets. And once they get down, the Rockets have no one to stop him. Right. I mean, so it's...
Where do y'all have the Rockets in seven-game series with the Bucks, Lakers, and Clippers?
I don't know. I don't know game count. I can't picture them beating any of those three teams in a seven-game series. Because I think Giannis, I think Harrell, I think Anthony Davis, I think they all just they have their way with them.
I'll take it a step farther. I don't see them beating the Toronto Raptors in a seven-game series.
Really?
Yeah.
The Raptors are 10-14 this year against teams with winning records. I think they're probably benefiting from an oversaturation of playing in the East. I think Giannis is benefiting. Now, that's a talented team, the Milwaukee Bucks. Chris Middleton's probably the most underrated superstars in the league. Bledsoe's up and down. You don't know what you get.
You know what? Everybody, all five of their starters defend.
Right.
Everybody
that's
on
a great
that team
point.
Defends.
And the ball movement on it is as if you're drawing up an instructional video.
And as far as Toronto goes, the Rockets have no answer for Siakam because they can't handle a big
He's another guy.
Yeah. I think Harden matches up well on with Siakam on the box, I think he matches up well with Siakam. His size, the power he plays with, it shows the toughness that Harden plays with down on the box. But if you want to say what's the most concerning factor, it's not the 7-for-42 on three-pointers. I've seen that before. And in a seven-game series, I think you need to, for the majority of the NBA, you need the Rockets have four off night shooting, and this is what they do better than anybody in the league, so I'm not betting on that. I think it's a better team than what they get sold as. Now, if you're telling me the Clippers are better, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think that they're the best team in the NBA, not only with two of the best two-way players in PG and Kawhi, and I think Kawhi's the best player in the NBA. That being said, their depth is just another part that just kills the Rockets and the rest of the NBA. With signing Marcus Morris, bringing in the pieces they got there, Reggie Jackson's obviously not clicking yet, and now they give a 10-day to Joakim Noah, which I'm not expecting much out of.
Well, depth is never going to be a plus for the Rockets.
Sure.
They've burned any depth that they had to build what they've got, to get what they've got right now.
Well, in the playoffs, they're not going to use depth anyway. We've already seen what D'Antoni does
seven,
in shortens the bench.
Right.
But here's the flip side to what you're saying, that they're not going to have four games where they shoot poorly. I disagree. I think they're not going to be able to have four games where they shoot at a high level against a team that plays defense like the Clippers does.
Well, the Clippers.
And that's the thing. I think that's where I am right now is will they shoot well enough to beat a team like that four games out of seven? I don't see it. But
well, and especially when you think about the healthy Clippers, I don't know that even just from a pure offensive standpoint, the Rockets are better than them.
I think that's fair. Let me ask you this.
And they're definitely not better defensively.
You said one key word in there that I would apply to the Lakers and Clippers. You know where I'm going with this.
Fully healthy?
Fully healthy.
Oh, is Russell Westbrook a picture of health?
Well, he's been resting all year off of the surgery, resting in back-to-back.
So is Kawhi.
That's fair. But I'm saying Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, throughout their careers, the biggest caveat with them and Anthony Davis for the Lakers is health.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Davis has been healthy all year, which I didn't expect.
I didn't expect that either. And that to me makes the Lakers super dangerous because you know they're going to crank it up in the playoffs too. I don't know if the Rockets have another gear that they can switch into come playoff time.
Yeah, it's set. Jonathan Fagan from the Houston Chronicle had this stat last night. This is why I say I don't think the Rockets shoot this poorly four straight games. As great as the Clippers are.
It doesn't have to be four straight games in a seven-game
series. I mean, four games. Okay. Excuse me. But my point being, Jonathan Fagan pointed out that Rockets were 0 for 13 when a defender wasn't even within 4 to 6 feet. They were just within 4 to 6 feet. And for total, 6 feet and farther, 4 to 6 feet or farther, open three-point shots, the Rockets were 6 for 36. That's not happening. That's not happening. You look at it historically through this year. This is the fourth time they played the Clippers. They were 33% with 14 for 42 in a win over L.A. They were 15 for 43, 35% in a three-point loss to the Clippers. They were 14 for 37, shooting 38% in a three-point win against the Clippers in the Clippers building. I think in a seven-game series, this is a lot closer than most people think. Again, if I'm a betting man, I'm putting my money on the Clippers in a seven-game series. Well, that's the only team I'm taking over the Rockets with a clear conscience.
You and I have talked about this, and I think we disagree on this, that I think James would be more efficient of a player if he didn't shoot as many threes because he's not a good three-point shooter, yet he shoots them like he's Steph Curry.
Sure.
And I think we've seen Russ cut back on the amount of threes that he shoots.
Absolutely.
And he's instantly more efficient. Do you not think that James could gain from doing that same thing?
Not as black and white as that. I think when he has a game where he's obviously off, he's proven he'd come back and hit one or two late or something. That being said, when it's not falling early, I'd like to see him get to the rack because of the spacing with this. It makes a lot more sense. He's a career 36% shooter. This day and age, you've got guys like Davis Bertans who hitting, 43% of his threes.
So, he's an average at best three-point shooter.
That's fair.
And he shoots more threes than anybody.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense to me. It never has.
That's 100% fair. But the other thing I think we don't take into account that we do with other teams, they even said on the broadcast last night, hey, this is the Clippers' first year together with these pieces. They're learning to play, and now they're hitting their hot streak, hottest team in the NBA now. Again, 9-0 or 10-0 when they're all healthy. Well, the Rockets have gone from shipping out Chris Paul, shipping in a former league MVP that was ball dominant like Harden, changing the style of play, trying to figure out how to get Russ implemented. Can he become a more effective three-point shooter? Wipe that strategy and say, hey, let's trade Clint Capella. Let's get Covington in here. Then let's go add in Jeff Green and Damari Carroll as well. So there's all these pieces that are still finding their places and their role on this roster, and even more so finding their value for the playoffs. Because right now, Damari Carroll just looks like a failed acquisition. Yeah. And I know it's early, but that's one of those pieces that aren't clicking. Jeff Green, 6 for 10 last night, clicking. 3 for 6 on 3. He's clicking. He's found his groove. So,
what percentage of a chance do you give the Rockets to win the title?
That's a tough one. I know y'all do that. What are the odds Wednesday? Yeah. So I would say Rockets winning the title, 25%.
Wow.
25?
Wow.
25%.
That's insane to me.
In a series, let's start from the bottom. Memphis, Houston. Who are you taking?
I'll take Houston. Well, Memphis fully healthy would scare me.
Now, this is a little bit tougher than what people know.
Because Memphis is getting better and better and better as the season goes on, too.
Houston, Dallas. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one, and I don't know. Because that's another.
Depends on how healthy Dallas is, too.
Yeah, if Luka and Kristaps are both healthy, they're going to give them problems.
And here's another tough one. OKC, Houston.
Steven Adams is a big slow. Mm-hmm. I think that they would have less problems with him. And the other two teams, the Jazz and the Nuggets,
right,
they are so dependent on their big men
that
I think the Rockets would have their way with them.
Right.
Because those teams don't know how to operate with their big off the floor.
Great point.
And they've got big slows that you know they need on the floor. But everybody else in the West, they can put out a lineup that matches up with the Rockets.
Yeah. Now, I think it will be highly contested matchup. Seven-game series with two MVPs that the Rockets have here. Take the Rockets over everybody in the West except the Clippers. And then the Lakers, I'm 50-50 on that one. I'm 50-50 on Lakers versus Rockets.
Like, when you look at it now, the Lakers are 47-13.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockets are 39-22. They're 8.5 games better. Sure. We're three-quarters of the way through the season. At some point, aren't you kind of what you are?
Your record.
And by the way, the Lakers playing in a better division.
The Lakers do play in a better division. That's absolutely fair. But the Lakers also, if you look at their record against winning teams from the East, they don't even have a winning record. So something the East has lined out and figured out with LeBron and these Lakers. And the West, the Rockets don't have a losing record against any team in the West of all the top contenders. 2-2, 1-1 with the Lakers with another game coming up. 2-2 with the Clippers.
You know what the Lakers have? They're 25-6 at home, and they're probably going to have home court advantage throughout.
Hey, I appreciate the time, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Tune in 7 o'clock tonight, late hits. You hear Jason Braddock? Good stuff, man. Just goes to show you, we don't have to agree on things. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And I've had several people ask me which horses I like tonight at Sam Houston. I'll tweet them out later, the ones that I like. I have to go back and look, man. I turn these things in on Sunday or Monday. So I have to go back and look at them. I've had to do 30 races this week, so I don't have anything that pops out of my head right now, but I will go back and look and tweet stuff out. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
We go to Pennsylvania, where a man is charged with breaking into a neighbor's house and attacking several residents. He claimed he invaded the property while chasing after a demon dog at Satan's direction. And yes, crystal meth appears to have played a role. According to a probable cause affidavit, a woman told cops that Terry Murphy, 31, entered her home without permission around 2 p.m. on Sunday. He allegedly choked the woman and her teenage daughter while yelling, "Praise God." He was then chased from the residence by the woman's husband. At that time, he walked back to his own house while talking about his demons and that he was talking to Jesus.
Makes sense.
During police,
don't do math.
Yeah, during police Jesus, questioning.
He was talking. I've only known one man who can talk to Jesus, yeah, that's Jim Baker.
No, that's Joel Osteen. Murphy continued
to yell. Joel Osteen's a fraud. He doesn't have the cure for coronavirus like I do. Who's got the buckets that are going to feed you during this apocalypse? It's me, and I want you to have them for the low, low price of 20% of your monthly salary.
Oh, so after he was handcuffed and put in the patrol car, he was arrested for extreme intoxication for crystal meth. He was foaming at the mouth, yelling loudly, all while speaking in tongues and causing a disturbance. He's been charged with 13 criminal counts.
I was once arrested with the charge of extreme intoxication.
Okay.
And my lawyer got that charge dropped.
Well, good.
And it was just, then it just became public intoxication.
But you didn't have meth, so.
Didn't have meth.
Well, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. That was the bar. I don't remember what it was called. There's a bar on 2nd Street in Nashville that had $5 all the beer you could drink. It was PBR. And like it's almost like they were setting you up to fail, you know, because they knew what was going to happen. They knew people were going to go outside and pick up newspaper boxes. So I think it seemed like entrapment to me, and I didn't know Lawyer Dave back then.
All right, we got to go to Barry Laminack, who is BMXing it. What's up, Barry?
What's up, y'all? How's it going?
It's going sports.
Out here at the USA BMX Lone Star Nationals, you don't know what's going on out here. They are qualifying for the World Championships, which are actually going to be out here as well. I don't know if y'all know this, but there's a new BMX park in town. Is right up here off 45 North in Kirkendall. And it just opened in October. Already have national championships, are going to have the world championships here. And who knows, some of the people you might watch this weekend could be in the Olympics because they'll qualify for that at the world championships in May. So you could be out here hanging out with Olympic athletes. You don't even know that. Oh, by the way, totally free this weekend. Just come out and enjoy all the races. You don't have to pay a dime. Well, you have to pay to park, but that's it. But the races themselves are free to get into. And by the way, you can buy tickets for the World Championships. If you don't get them before Sunday, prices are going to go up. And if you do get them now, you'll be automatically entered to win a VIP experience, which includes you get to watch the World Championships in May in a suite with AC, free food, free drinks. It's all right there for you. All you got to do, go to their website. It is HoustonBMX2020.com, HoustonBMX2020.com.
And they get to see you if they come out there.
Yeah, come hang with me. Hey, Fred, I asked. I was curious, what's the oldest and youngest competitor? They said the oldest competitor in the race is 60. So, bro, you can do this.
That guy is going to get coronavirus.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Barry. We'll talk to you again next hour, man.
All right. We'll see you guys.
All right. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. See the hit glue in my mouth and I'll be grinning. Yeah. 100 bands in my pocket, it's on me. 100 deep when I roll like the